Welcome to the In My Experience, Perspectives of a Woman CEO podcast, featuring Marian Miner, CEO of EPG Brand Acceleration and EPG Specialty Information. Now, here's your host, David G.
The global pandemic upended our lives, changed the way we work, where and how we work in many cases, and even the way we view work. Is there anything we can learn from the experience? Well, we hope so. Hi, everyone. David G. here with you, and joining us for In My Experience, Perspectives of a Woman CEO is the CEO herself, Marian Miner, the CEO of EPG Brand Acceleration and EPG Specialty Information. Good to see you again, Marian.
Good to see you, David.
We all have vivid memories of the start of the pandemic. Let's talk about what some of yours are, Marian.
It was surreal. What I recall is actually there was, had a premonition, or maybe not a premonition, but in our Minneapolis office, there were a lot of people getting sick, but we just thought it was the winter. And, you know, there was no discussion whatsoever of, you know, anything that was going to be long lasting. And I think that in California, Gavin Newsom was one of the first states to announce a lockdown. And I thought he was overreacting because I didn't have any of the information. And I just remember going, what's next? That was something that had never crossed my mind, that we would have to shut down businesses and be locked up in our homes. And we got an inkling of it when our business dealing slowed down a little bit. And so I'm not quite sure whether the business market had known this was coming from a global standpoint, because we certainly know now that things were happening in the fourth quarter of 2019.
Well, it's clear nobody, very few people had a 360 degree view of what was happening. Interestingly enough, though, a lot has been written about how the pandemic came to be. Not so well known are the details about how it was able to spread so quickly, particularly here in the U.S. You mentioned to me, Marian, about I hadn't read the book. Author Michael Lewis written a book called The Premonition that fills in some of those blanks. He said something like this was inevitable, and to those in the infectious disease community who could recognize them, the signs were there early, weren't they?
Definitely. They were looking at the data, and they were trying to talk to people, and people wouldn't listen because they could not conceive of something like what happened in 1912.
Marian, let's talk about the three biggest lessons that you say you learned from the pandemic, and you group them into the following categories. Business, the old rules don't apply, there are no rules. Leadership, in times of uncertainty, your management style has to change. And then finally, number three, professional relationships. You say global trauma is the great equalizer when interacting and relating with others. So let's dig into each of those three in order, beginning with business, no rules. Expound on that a little, if you would.
There was a way of working up until the first quarter of 2020. And I think that things happened in those first couple months that fundamentally changed all aspects of our life. So things that we were conventional wisdoms or rules we followed are things that probably we have to examine and realign with something new. It certainly has restructured some interpersonal relationships, but I think there's physical changes as well, because as humans, we need that interaction and everything. So we just can't expect to go back to business as usual.
You know, muscle memory is a very strong thing in our golf swing, in learning new things, in the way we communicate, our routines. How difficult was it for you personally or professionally to kind of let go of those and realize that I'm going to have to meld into something new here? And we all were.
A little scary.
Yeah.
I mean, very brand new. I had a management style. There was a way that our company ran in the environment that things were in. But then suddenly, you don't know what the future is going to be. And we are a privately owned company, no leverage, depend on organic growth. We've had a number of associates, I spoke about this previously, that have been with the company a long time and, you know, depend on the brands that they work on and everything. And this was just a whole new world. And the analogy I'd like to say is, for a while we're out on a boat and we're anchored and we're collaborating and living, and then suddenly a big gigantic storm comes through and somebody has to be the ultimate decision maker. Somebody has to look at what's important and what's going to get us back to port, what's going to get us back and without anyone being harmed. And so my business style had to change to be much more autocratic, couldn't be a democracy, couldn't share all the information because we were moving way too fast. So that was really the difference in my leadership style, and that was what was needed at the time. I couldn't have been, that's not what's recommended in a company, to be autocratic, but for that particular time that it worked. But now as we're coming out, kind of dealing with what the new world is about and again re-examining what is the leadership style that's going to be needed to do that.
But that's a really interesting dichotomy. On the one hand, you're saying you're autocratic and this is the way it's going to be, only I have the entire view. But on the other hand, people are scattering to the wind, they're working remotely, you're kind of losing physical control of people, you're not seeing them in the office. So change is happening underneath your foot. So you have to be more flexible. At the same time, there's another part of you that's being less flexible. Talk about that split personality.
Well, I think when people moved home, I mean, they were scared to come to the office because they didn't know, or to go anywhere. So they were happy to be going home remotely. But there was, even though they may not have admitted it in 2019, business life, their professional life is a major part of their identity and their social interactions and of their, you know, interest. So when they went home, they wanted to connect. So we started to up the communication. That's always been kind of a challenging thing, you know, in our company, is communication. However, it was just more necessary, so more people were interested in doing it. So having a town hall meeting once a week, everybody wanted it because they wanted week by week type things. So I think that there was a recognition and an appreciation for having this community that maybe was not as important before, but in, you know, a ship in a storm, you're going to look out there and look for, you know, where you can get a life preserver or where you can keep informed and everything. So I didn't find it very hard in that regard. We had a number of people already remote, but we are now down to one office. We had three or four offices, hard to manage, low amount of people. In some cases, you know, we closed them down because we didn't know how long this was going to go on and everything. So I think that not only did I change, but I think a lot of the associates at that time adapted and changed to the type of information that they wanted. There was a time where we had to, for about 6 weeks, work on a reduced schedule, and everybody was very understanding because they knew what was happening, and I'm very appreciative of that. And any other time, that probably wouldn't have been something that they were that they would support. And it was really a big deal for me. I remember some people reaching out afterwards, you know, thanking me for that and understanding. And, you know, something that I'm going to share is, you know, once I came off that town hall meeting, I started crying, sobbing. I thought I had, you know, failed in some way. It worked out, and we're stronger than ever.
Well, amidst all this change, many experts agree that some things in the workplace changed for the better. Many leaders became more empathetic, purpose-driven. You talked about that. Digital transformation accelerated across industries, caused many businesses to become more efficient and customer-centric. Remote work created entirely new ways for people to manage their days and time without sacrificing productivity. I know I heard you say this digital transformation was underway at EPG anyway, that in fact, this just accelerated the path you're on. Was it a kind of an affirming in a way to say, okay, I was here, I was doing this, and now, you know, everybody else is kind of too?
Certainly.
Yeah.
And we saw it coming. I think that we might have been a little bit before our time, so to speak. So I will hand it to COVID-19 to providing the opportunity, because that's how people could get information quickly, is digitally, and now it's a habit. And so we're still communicating with people, we're still communicating on a lot of different platforms, including magazines. However, they're just delivered digitally. It's also helped from a cost structure standpoint. Had we continued with the old business model, the supply chain issues would have affected that product. It was very important. We had already started to diversify at that time into other products and services that helped and give us a much softer landing than before.
Well, good for you, Mary, and congratulations on that front. Well, we also learned about community and technology. Both are somewhat essential. People who were part of a community during the pandemic realized the importance of human connection, and those who didn't have that kind of support realized they needed it.
Certainly. If you would have told me a couple years ago that all of us would be doing almost 100% of our interaction over video conferencing and also communicating with each other on the same platform and sharing documents and having all sorts of generations with different levels of use of that type of information, I would have said, I don't think so. I mean, that's fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was wrong in that regard. I was very wrong. And again, I think that was just driven by people wanting to communicate. So I'm going to learn how to do that. I want to communicate with the community I'm in. I want to communicate with clients. That was very important for us at that time, is to have that connection, providing information to the entire community, so that we were going to move through this together, and we didn't have the other options in order to do it. And now I think that's the preferred way of meeting most times. I like the face-to-face. I think we will move more and more back to that, but we're doing just fine right now, having that face-to-face, but with the screen there.
You told me you were in the midst of business planning right now, looking at 2023 and beyond. How has COVID impacted the way that you're doing business planning? Has it?
Not really.
Okay.
I think where a lot of the focus is we're preparing for growth. And so I think one of the biggest elements as you're putting together your business plan and budgeting is going to be the human resource element. And that the way we do business now is very differently, or very different. That we know that having gone home, having to deal with some of the day-to-day things with kids not being able to go to school, having to tutor kids at home, having elderly parents, and a lot of other demands on our time, means that the work life is different. That these other things can't wait till the end of the day. So how do we create a work environment in that regard? And that has to be done by having better communication, being more collaborative. But what we're also doing now is, as we're preparing for growth, we're certainly looking at the how we're going to do that. And one of those ways is going to be, how do we incorporate the talents, the interest, and the skills of individuals and what they want to be doing. So it's not that we're going to dictate this is what we're going to be doing. It's going to be, here are the opportunities, what are skills, interest, and motivation for those that are part of the team, and how do we meld it together and then work up to develop the business plan that way. So it really is more ICS from an associate and then a planning standpoint, executive group, is meeting each other where we need to be, and it's not just where the company needs to be, and it's not where the associates want it to be. I mean, it's still a little bit more in that regard, but we're all trying to work it out. But at the end, figuring out how we're going to navigate, you know, the new world, so to speak, or the new normal.
Right.
It's going to be a collaborative process, and it's going to be a lot of communication and, you know, really seeing where people want to be and, you know, where we want to go.
Was there a moment when you went from, okay, we need to make payroll, we need to survive this, to forget about survival? I want to thrive. I want to be stronger at the end of this. I don't want to just make it through. Was there a moment that you can feel where you kind of made that transition in your thinking?
I think in 2021, I mean, that initial shock had us make some very quick decisions. Then, if I recall correctly, then that particular variant had declined, but something else came. And I think no one thought it was going to last as long as it did. But I think once we weathered that, we went into the next year, our relationships remained, revenue continued to come in. We were able to manage expenses. So I would say it was probably in the third or fourth quarter of 2021 where, okay, we weathered that. Now let's see what we can do from here. You know, damn it, we did that. So let's go for it. And so much less risk averse, taking more risk, more investment, and everything, and trying to have fun at it. And I think a number of associates have said to me, 2019 was a little bit of a grind because of the state of business and publishing at that time. But now they're very excited because we're focusing on new things and we're building new things and we're all testing ourselves and really trying to push ourselves as far as we can go. So I think all of us are, you know, in the same boat now, trying to navigate. We don't always agree, but we're going in the right direction.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, one of the things that workplace and HR experts talk about is preparing future employees, maybe those that you even hadn't hired yet, for the post-pandemic world. They said the pandemic has put a focus on the need for people to be equipped with technological resources, which we've seen. You've already talked about that. Communication, critical thinking skills. With fewer face-to-face interactions in the office, employers are going to expect a higher level of technological expertise and the ability to communicate very clearly about expectations from both team members and clients. What do you think about that statement?
I think what's very important and where we're putting our attention to as well is our managers, which are also, they're doing the work and they're also managing, but they're also working on training and they're also working on one-on-one interaction. Technology allows them to do that. I don't know, over the last month or two, probably hired about 5 people or more, but they're all remote. They're not in our headquarters office because we found that the skills we needed, the attitude we needed, it was going to be from a remote standpoint, which again is a different way of thinking. We get them out in the market as soon as possible so that they feel a part of it. For a while we were holding back, but you know, it's like, this is the best way to learn, is just hands-on type things. So I think that we're using the technology out there, we're using and doing a lot of reading on how to prepare the managers to manage, I don't know what we would call this workforce, you know, but it is different than it is now, and it is going to be remote, and it is going to be work from home, and we've just redrafted a lot of policies that give the associate, and the manager the ability to make some decisions as long as everybody realizes that they're accountable to the other members of the team at the end of the day. And if we can do that and everything, we're golden. My favorite saying for those that have worked with me for some time, the only thing constant is change. I will tell you, I do not want a pandemic type change. We haven't settled at this point at all. So it's moving very fast, but it's all good fast. We did a lot of examination. I was at a CEO conference, and we were looking at all sorts of things, climate change, resources, all sorts of things that could very well tip the scales, so to speak. But we're hoping that it won't do that, you know, and that we'll just be able to recover from this, assimilate some of these other things, and just kind of move forward. And that's the how I'm approaching it overall, very optimistically, that yes, there are some storm clouds, but they're to be expected after you've gone through something like this.
Well, I've enjoyed the conversation. It's gone by fast. We've swapped a couple of quotes. So let's end with the quote. Humanity's memory is short, and what is not ever present fades quickly, says Manisha Jutani, MD, a Yale Medicine infectious diseases specialist. The bubonic plague, for example, ravaged Europe in the Middle Ages, resurfacing again and again. But once it was under control, people started to forget about it, she says. So it's important to remember and recognize our history. This is a period we must remember and learn from. And it sounds like you have learned a lot, Marion.
I agree. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Well, we hope you've learned something through our discussion, or at least maybe prompted some thoughts about emerging stronger through so-called black swan events such as the global pandemic. Our thanks once again to Marion Miner, CEO of EPG Brand Acceleration and EPG Specialty Information, for her perspectives. And thanks to you as well for listening. I'm David G. See you next time, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of In My Experience, Perspectives of a Woman CEO. We'd love to hear your feedback or ideas for future episodes. And we always appreciate a like or a share as well. See you next time.